Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast brought to you by MyBookie.ag, the official sports book of RotoViz Radio. I, as always, am your host, Eric Bertzloff, joined by Nathan and Dan. Sup, guys?
Hi, Eric. You're looking very fresh with your clean shave and everything rocking over there. You must have had like a wedding to go to or something.
Oh, please. If I had a wedding, I mean, it's just because I didn't have anything. Because, I mean, my God, beards look good, man. You know, I wouldn't do photo day without a beard. That would be terrible.
Well, now is a good opportunity to say any and all shave sponsors, if they want to sponsor RotoViz Radio, Dynasty Tradecast, hit us up.
Yeah, I do shave my shoulders. So, you know, anybody who shaves. Yeah. So we're just shamelessly whoring ourselves out again, Nathan. Is that what you're saying? There's not enough ads on the show is what you're telling me?
Ads for shaving products on other podcasts, and they'd fit right in with RotoViz Radio.
What we could do is we could just release a video pod and just have Eric shave his beard off like once a month.
That might work. That would be interesting, except for it wouldn't really grow back. Okay, we have big news. We have big news before we get into the show. I noticed today when I was when I stopped at a stoplight that our official singular podcast feed is up on iTunes. So make sure you go subscribe there too. We got a sweet new logo. If you saw that on Twitter, I think Nathan was out retweeting that thing like crazy last week. So it is the Dynasty Tradecast, a RotoViz podcast. So if you want to check it out, by all means, please subscribe, rate and review. We have literally no rate and reviews right now, guys. Literally none.
That's not good. Let's get some. We need to host another league just so we can get some reviews.
I know. That's true. Now we just need to shamelessly plug ourselves. But maybe that'll be a new way that the guys who have already supported the show have an opportunity to stand out, you know?
Maybe we could try to find something to give away, maybe. I don't know. Rate, review. Maybe there's something to be had. Who knows?
All right. So how'd the week in fantasy go now diving into the show? Let me start by saying mine was fantastic. I had Stephon Diggs on every team. I had T.Y. Hilton on every team. I had Kareem Hunt on a few teams. I mean, it was just a fisting fest for my poor opponents.
What the hell?
A fisting fest. Yep. Oh, okay. Fisting fest. Well, yeah, I probably had a mediocre week, but I'm doing all right in the Scott Fishbowl. I will be 3-0 and probably like top 75 to 100-ish, which for me, that's an accomplishment right there.
Yeah, it's pretty good, man. You're like what, top sixth, top seventh of all players in the world. That's nice.
World.
Well, no big deal, but the RotoViz Dynasty Tradecast does have two hosts that are 3-0 in the Scott Fish Bowl, because I am also.
Yay, Nathan, I recall you not being so well last year, though.
Yeah, I mean, no better time than the present.
I'm bringing you guys. I'm coming up the rear because I also have a 3-0 in my record.
Just backwards.
But it is backwards. So I'm bringing us back down to earth. Thanks, Cam Newton, for the fisting. All right, the name of the show is going to be Fist Fest.
We might get reported a couple times.
That's what I'm rooting for, really.
All right, our first segment of the day. Everyone's going to be talking about the first 3 weeks, players that have had hot starts, and it's kind of a question of, are those players going to continue what they've been doing early on, or are they going to disappoint us the rest of the year, not live up to the expectations that we have now through 3 weeks? So we have a very fun game where – it's a very fun name that I came up. I'm a very innovative name giver, and this game will be called Hot Start or Wet Fart. So if the player has had a hot start and we think that will continue, we will say hot start. If we think that hot start will flame out and they won't be as good the rest of the season, we will say wet fart. So flame out, wet fart, whatever you
want. There's going to be some analysis in there, too. It's not just going to be that's not going to be – that's not exclusive. We will be talking about the players, but yes, we are playing Hot Start or Wet Fart, which I'm kind of excited about.
Yeah, no, I mean, I lost it on Vox when Nathan came in with that. So that's a clever name for sure. I'm not sure it makes any sense, Nathan, but it is clever. All right, let's dive in. Before we get into that show, let me tell you about our sponsor, MyBookie.ag. As always, they sponsor the show. They're an awesome, reputable sports book. You can join MyBookie now, and they will match your deposit 100%. Just use the promo code TRADECAST. That's the promo code TRADECAST. And then also, RotoViz is running an awesome promotion where if you sign up this month with TradeCast promo code and then forward a copy of your signup confirmation to rotovizradio@gmail.com, you'll be entered into a drawing for a limited edition RotoViz athletic jacket, which is pretty sweet. So sign up for my bookie, deposit money, then forward us the email confirmation, and we'll announce the winner in a future episode.
Also, well, there's a bunch of my money floating around in there. And so you can win some of my money because I had a horrible week on my bookie. I got raked.
Yeah, and all that money that I won by betting on the Bucks in week two, their first victory, I lost all of it by betting against the Vikings. So, yeah, stop betting on the Bucks, Nathan, because they're terrible.
Yeah, I lost
money in the Case Keenum, game. Come on.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the players that have had some hot starts. I think the obvious one, and this may not exactly fit into this category of whether they be bad or good, but Kareem Hunt is the talk of the fantasy ball world through 3 weeks. That he's had three 20-plus point performances. He, you know, is being talked about as possibly in that tier of the David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, people are talking about him being ahead of Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook. Dan, we'll start with you. What are you thinking of Kareem Hunt? Are you moving him to that top echelon tier? Is he just outside of that? What do you think?
Or is
he just
wet
outside?
Definitely
not a wet fart. so stupid to say that. He's in that next tier, and maybe in like the middle of that next tier. There's still a lot of guys that are proven, and they've done it for seasons rather than three games. Obviously, he looks the part. He's in the perfect offense for his skill set. The things that worry me was that he didn't beat Spencer Ware out before the injury. It was still Spencer Ware's backfield. Obviously, the injury, you know, projected him into that starting role, but that kind of makes you wonder how they felt, one, about Spencer Ware, and two, about Kareem Hunt before the big breakout. So I think when Spencer comes back, he's out all year, and we'll see him in 2018, but kind of makes you wonder for the future if there's some sort of committee going on or what. But yeah, I mean, he's dynasty wise, you've got to have him as probably a mid, maybe like 6 or 7 in the RBs. But he's definitely not in that top, that elite tier quite yet. And I have moved somebody else back into the elite tier that was currently falling down the hill.
Okay, I just waited patiently for you to finish talking there, Dan. The argument I think you're making is I think a poor one, where you're saying that that they weren't giving him a chance and he couldn't beat out Spencer Ware. But like, even going back to, like, let's use a recent example in David Johnson, where he didn't beat out who was it, Chris Johnson at the time? I don't even know, Andre Ellington in training camp, and then came on in like week 4 or week 5 when he got his chance and really took a stranglehold on that. I'm not sure that it's necessarily, I don't think that's an indictment of Hunt at all. As a guy who drafted literally no Hunt, I had to get a share and had an opportunity to finally do so. Paid 2 firsts for him in a super flex league, and am very, very happy with that price tag, because I think he's going in the 3 first range these days if you want to purchase him.
Ryan McDowell posted a tweet earlier today that said one of his trades was 5 firsts, so you got a little bit of a discount on that.
No, that was him searching. Yeah, that's insane. I actually tweeted and I was like, 5 firsts, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't want to seem like I'm indicting him for anything. I just, Spencer Ware is going to have a role on that team. So I don't know that it's a bell cow for the foreseeable future until Spencer Ware is gone. But obviously he's going to be the lead back, knowing what we know now.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might spell him. That's, I don't think it's going to be any more than that.
Spencer Ware's a pretty good player. Spencer Ware's a pretty good running back.
Okay, yeah, that's not true. But all right, let's move on. Or actually, Nathan, do you have any cream takes?
Yeah, my Kareem Hunt take is that I don't think Spencer Ware has any impact on his future value. I think Kareem Hunt has got a stranglehold on that, you know, future job. I think that with Kareem Hunt, I'm not sure. Obviously, he's not going to compete, keep up this pace. But I do think that the fact that he's been so explosive is good news for the rest of the Chiefs' weapons. And, you know, with Alex Smith and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, I think all of those offenses all those players are going to help every player in the offense become better, because that offense is so explosive right now. So the next player we can talk about really quickly, because he's a quarterback, so no one really cares. But Alex Smith is a top 5 quarterback in fantasy football. Nobody really thought that was going to happen. So, Eric, do you think that Alex Smith is a hot start or a wet fart in that explosive Chiefs offense?
Man, I don't think his price tag has caught up yet. So I'll give him the hot start. I think he got, speaking of farts, I think he got a fiery one under his ass when they drafted Mahomes. So it seems like that pulled the trigger on him. I mean, they're not going to be able to keep Mahomes if he is that good off the field. So it probably is just Alex Smith's slow, painful death here. But if he keeps up playing like this, I don't see how you kick him off the team. So, or trade him or whatever. I think he's a value still. If you're in a super flex league, he's probably a buy. You can probably get him for a late first at this point. And he looks to be behind this powerhouse offense. So I'll give him a hot start.
I think you hit it right on the nose. I think Mahomes just kind of made him play a little bit more reckless than he normally does. He's taking shots down the field. He's doing things that we just never really saw. It was always the check down artist game manager, and they won with their defense and running game. And now you don't know where the ball is going to go next. It could be Chris Conley, even Albert Wilson, you know, some of the secondary guys. Plus you have all of the, you know, your Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Kareem Hunt. So that offense is super explosive. Like you said, Nathan, as far as dynasty value goes, Alex Smith, you know, there's probably not a lot of long value there, but we don't really need to play long value with quarterbacks unless you're talking about super flex or two quarterback. You can kind of just stream in one QB. So I think Alex is maybe out of a job after the season, and he'll get a nice contract from somebody else, in a lesser team.
One thing I feel like is worth pointing out with Smith is he's got that upside too of like the Tyrod Taylor. He runs a lot of balls. So that's somebody who he's got a really low floor, and he's kind of been a sneaky low floor guy for
high floor. High floor.
High floor guy. High floor, low floor. Yes, he's very low floor, but he's got a very high floor. But he's been kind of one of those sneaky high floor guys that he just doesn't lay duds out there. He's pretty much always putting up double digits, mostly because he was playing so safe and he was running. So he wasn't throwing picks and getting you negative points, and he was getting you positive points in his running. So just something I feel like I'd throw in before Nathan gives his thoughts.
Yeah, with Alex Smith, I think that he's the perfect guy that you look at the roster of the guy who owns him. And if he's on a team that is, you know, middle of the road or not competing, the guy who has him might be willing to part with him, even though he's scoring points right now. So, I mean, you can probably get him for a late second in a one quarterback league, late first in a super flex. Both of those are fair prices for a guy that you can, I'm not saying you're going to have to start Alex Smith every week, but that offense is so good that he is worth more than just streaming prices. So I'm definitely a fan of Alex Smith at this point. We'll go to our next guy. This is a guy that hit a huge week three, and that's Chris Thompson. I'll start with my take since I've been going last here. I think that Chris Thompson is a wet fart incoming. It's a guy that, yes, the Redskins backfield
my
is.
God, this game.
Chris Thompson is a guy who, you know, he's almost guaranteed he touches at this point. But at the same time, I think that the Redskins spent draft capital on Samaje Perine. They're going to want to try and work him in. And that they've shown that by Chris Thompson not being, you know, he didn't get like RB1 snaps. He just got RB1 points in fantasy football. So I'm always wary of guys that put up big points but are still only playing, you know, 50 to 60% of the snaps. So I am definitely not buying the Chris Thompson right now. And it's still one of those things that even though he's had a couple of big weeks, his price in Dynasty probably hasn't risen enough to be able to sell him. If you own him and can get an early second, that's something I would do every day. But I would be looking for that type of price. And we talked about this type of move before, but even if you have to do Chris Thompson in your late third for an early second, that's also a move I would make.
That's breaking news, Nathan. You mentioned Perine. Perine's terrible based off of all that I've seen of him on the field. So this breaking news just in. I have sold Chris Thompson in the past for a fourth round pick and was pretty happy about it. Eating my hat at the moment. I think he looks like the real deal. Granted, he's probably not ever going to be a bell cow, but he's probably always going to – what I'll equate him to is like he could be Gio Bernard productive. He could be a running back too for pretty much ever. He catches the football, scores points in a consistent way. So he's the type of player that kind of reminds me of guys that I really like that have that high floor. And in the running back position, it's something that's really, really valuable. So I think they're going to work him. I think they're going to keep him in. And Rob Kelly looks great too. But Perine looks terrible. And even Mac Brown looked better than Perine.
It doesn't take much. yeah, I've always kind of been a fan of Chris Thompson, but I, just even seeing, you know, Twitter the last couple of days, it's been, or I guess today and yesterday, but it's been interesting. Some people are anointing, you know, giving him the crown now. I still think he's, you know, a low end RB2. You can kind of mix him in with the rest of the pass catching backs. It's just what he is. I think he'll get a few more touches in the actual running game, but his bread and butter is in the air. And if he can stay efficient, I mean, you're probably looking closer to a high end RB2 rather than a low end one. But yeah, I try to fade the guys that are crazy efficient. Something that can't sustain. So long value. I'm still probably holding all of my shares, but would be happy to buy some if I can get them for like a second, which probably at this point you're not going to be able to.
Yeah, I think the price tags crept into that first range with the hype. I mean, it's so funny when you get into the regular season how quickly people throw those values for the first out the window week two, week three. We're right in the heat of that. So buy first if you can. Brought to you by the Tradecast. All right, Nathan, who's next?
Next on our list will be wide receiver turned running back Ty Montgomery. He's had a couple of big games for the Packers in the first few weeks. Dan, what do you think? Hot start for Ty Montgomery, or is he going to be a wet fart?
Wet fart.
Oh, man, that's such a good drop. You need to cut that out and just have it ready.
Maybe I will. Trying to do like my best morning show impression with that.
You know, I keep going back and forth on Ty Montgomery. I was buying in the off season, and then right before the season started, I started to sell off some shares because the hype started to build, and I feel like I'm kind of regretting it. But at the same time, my love for Jamal Williams is probably too much, and I want him to get mixed in, but I think Ty is going to keep doing what he's been doing, and I think he's good. He fixed what he needed to fix. He's way better in pass blocking. Obviously, we don't care about that for fantasy points, but that means he's staying on the field. So yeah, I think his hot start, and I think it maintains. So I think you can still buy Ty Montgomery for decent prices as well. I don't think he's gotten crazy. Probably high end RB2 type price. I don't know. Are we talking about an RB1 here?
I don't think we're talking about an RB1. I wouldn't be buying at RB1 prices. I think that his buying
price.
What is price
RB1 around, price, real quick? Are you talking like a first round pick for an RB1 price? Is that what you're saying?
Probably mid first.
I would say that if someone wanted to buy Montgomery right now, they'd have to fork up a mid first. Would you be buying at that price of a mid first for Ty Montgomery?
I wouldn't know. I was with Dan. I was buying a lot in the offseason before the draft, really, when people were kind of like, they're going to address the position and Montgomery's going to go. That just seemed like a smart bet because I didn't think he was going to get pushed out immediately, even if they did draft somebody, which they drafted two, in Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. In this case, I don't think I'm buying him. I'm happy to hold him. He's the kind of guy who, if he keeps up this kind of bell cow role, is a pure rarity right now in this league right now. So if you can have somebody who's getting that type of carry share in a backfield, then by all means, hold on him. He's the kind of guy that can win you a championship just on sheer volume alone.
All right. Another player that I think is going to be reliant on volume the rest of the fantasy season is Chris Hogan. He's a guy that I think that he's going to be inconsistent. He's going to have the huge weeks where he has the two touchdowns and the Patriots offense explodes. But I also think he's going to have the two catch for 14 yards and no touchdown game. So I am not buying in on Chris Hogan. I'm erring more on the side of wet fart, but I think that he can still be a viable fantasy option. It's just more of a risky proposition. So we'll start with you, Eric. What are your thoughts on Chris Hogan always open?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's just a Patriots wide receiver, and he's not any more special than the other Patriots wide receivers, and they're very, and running backs too, but they're all traditionally very frustrating to start. They can have big games. They can put up big goose eggs. They can get caught in the momentum or they can get caught in somebody else's momentum where they're off the field. So he's, I think he's going to be a massively inconsistent asset, but he is still probably pretty cheap. I think you could probably get him, I don't know. I mean, maybe a third's reaching, but I think a second's overpaying for somebody like Hogan. So I don't know. I think he's interesting end of bench, like almost like a J.J. Nelson or Jerron Brown that we were talked about last week. Almost in that same vein where he's going to have massive games and he's going to have duds. And that's kind of what you need to expect with him.
I think I'm a little bit higher than that. You know, with Danny Amendola, just every week it seems like he's just ready close to death. No Edelman. Cooks being inconsistent and hoping for long bombs. That offense has run through Gronk. And, you know, Tom Brady's playing angry right now. I think he's something like 900 yards or 800 and some yards and 8 touchdowns the last 2 games. So that's, you know, that's scary.
Yeah, I don't know why we do this as analysts. Like, we bury Tom Brady and then, like, we're like, oh, he's back and he's angry and he's crushing us. Like, this has happened, like, what, 3-4 seasons in a row now?
He lulls everyone to sleep. That's his move. I think being tied to Brady is very helpful for Hogan. I think that props him up quite a bit. The thing that tears him down, like you mentioned, Eric, is the inconsistencies. He's still a Patriot, and we still don't know who's going to get what. You know, Gronk's pretty much the only thing you can count on as far as skill position goes. Running backs are a mess yet again. We don't know what's going on there. But, I still think Hogan is more than suitable for, like, a wide receiver 3 or 4 spot, that depending on the depth of the league and how many players you actually need to start. I'd be more than okay having him in that like wide receiver 4 spot.
So, Dan, let me ask you this. Are you going to be using Chris Hogan on draft next weekend?
Well, if I have any money left over in my account, I probably will. But we should talk about draft.
Which one is your hashtag bad?
I had a rough week all around. I lost money with my bookie. I lost money with draft. So, but yeah, you guys, you've heard me harp about it like a month now. Draft is unbelievable. It's my new favorite app. It is freaking awesome. It's got everything you could really want, especially for daily. And they're doing I think they're still doing the free entry, right? So if you use the code RVRadio, you get a free entry into a game when you make your first deposit. So you really can't beat that. It's not like you're getting a progressive pay-in from something like some other apps do. You are actually getting a free entry into a game. So go in with some free money with Draft. It's awesome.
Yep. And that's playdraft.com on the computer as well. All right, let's move on to the second segment here. This one's also very original, and Nathan has also this episode sponsored by a 9-year-old because this is wet fart or rough start.
By the way, happy belated birthday to our own Nathan Powell, who just graduated into stupid name school. So we're pretty excited about that. He did come up with these all on his own.
Yes, he did. All right, I'll take over the hosting of this one, Ed. So this is the opposite of hot start or wet fart. This is wet fart or rough start. This is, and again, you're just rhyming fart with start once more, Nathan, so kudos to you. Genius. all right, so these are going to be players that have had rough starts to their season, and we're gonna try to figure out, okay, is it legit? Are they really donezo forever? Or are they going to bounce back and they're buy lows? So I'll start with somebody so many people were high on. Not I, said Bertzloff. Terrell Pryor. Is he a wet fart or a rough start? Because it's been a real rough start.
Oh, man. He is the wettest of farts. He is a full-on shart. I mean,
this show is not for your kids. Your kids are going to learn terrible
have
things.
Have your kids leave the room. this is going to be good. Yeah, it still to me looks like a project. You know, people wanted to believe what they were seeing, and he was being force-fed targets in Cleveland. There was nobody to take any work away from him. He was the only receiving option. They had Crowell and Duke Johnson in the running game and Terrell Pryor, and that's it. He got like 150 targets. There was no chance he was going to see that kind of volume, and he never really clicked for me. I had people all up in my mentions all off season when I was telling people to avoid. And people were dropping stat lines of like 80 catches for 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. Like, get out of here.
This may surprise some people, but I'm actually going to go rough start here. I think that this could be a buying opportunity for those that, you know, were not sure on Pryor and thinking, oh, well, the price has increased too much, so now is not a good time to buy during the offseason. Well, now is a possible time to buy. Now he's probably gone lower than that, you know, late first price that he was going on most of the offseason. So if you can get him for that early to mid-second, he's still a talented player and an offense that's going to be passing a lot. he may not be consistent week to week, but I think that he has the ability to, you know, put up some big touchdown games. Definitely in a best ball format, he might be better because of the inconsistencies. But I think that of the players we're talking about, I think that he's the most likely to turn around this season. I'm going to be buying a lot of these guys for long term, but I think that he is the one to buy for this season where that he might have success later on the season.
Okay, let's move on to the next one. I think that's an interesting reflective point there, Nathan, to ours. And I'm glad we all didn't agree on his status. All right, this one I'm interested to hear everybody's take because I've kind of got my own, and that's the Crow down in Browntown.
Yeah, I think I can kind of reflect the same as Terrell Pryor here. Never been interested. His price got way out of hand during the offseason. I think we've talked about Isaiah. Showed up. I think we've talked about Isaiah Crowell about 16,000 times on this show, so we should probably keep this one short. But it's not in the cards. He's at best a low end RB2, and that's if he continues to get the touches. He's not a factor in the passing game. That's going to be Duke Johnson. It's not good.
Yeah,
not good.
It's. And not to mention, I agree completely with your sentiment there, Dan. He's just insanely frustrating and has almost no upside. But also, he seems to be, and I always kind of talk about the player personality aspect of this. There's like reports coming out that he's being insubordinate, pushing back,
begging for touches. Yeah, begging for touches.
Back against when we saw coaching staff, and Hugh Jackson's not going to stand for that. And honestly, it doesn't look like he needs him or cares. So this is a situation where if you can get out from Crow, I'm doing it everywhere I have him. Get out for a second if you can. And I don't know. I don't know that I would take a third, but I would certainly consider it.
This may sound counterproductive, but we can rewind the show to last week when I said that Jordan Howard was a bad buy because he was a running back on an offense that was going to be passing a lot, and he wasn't involved in the passing game. Well, Jordan Howard had a huge week three, so that doesn't sound great. But Isaiah Crowell is the same thing. He's a running back that isn't involved in the passing game that much. That is Duke Johnson, and it's a team that's going to be passing a lot because they aren't a very good football team. So they're still developing that you know, the defense and the offense. So you can't really rely on Crowell to get the 20 touches he needs to really be fantasy relevant. So he's going to have the occasional touchdown that'll, you know, make him startable, but, you know, he's going to be a rough start and a wet fart all at the same time.
Oh,
it'll be a rough fart.
Yeah. Oh, cool. If I had a nickel, Dan. All right. On to a guy who's literally one of my favorite players and I own a ton of. Probably the only person
I think we all do
is, yeah, Stephon Diggs. Is Cam Newton. He's a guy who I loved his floor, loved his upside, loved watching him play. So it's like the perfect storm of players that I enjoy having on my team. So I'll pose the question to the group: wet fart or rough start? Is it time to bury Cam into the middle tier quarterbacks?
So if we're talking, this is not a redraft show, but if we're talking about redraft, I think it's a wet fart. I think that this is going to be a lost season for Cam. He's going to be a guy. I mean, lost season for Cam means he's going to be like a mid to low end QB2. So I mean, he's still going to be startable and super flex. But, you know, it's to the point where I'm not really optimistic of what he'll do this year. He is battling injuries, and he still has a mediocre wide receiver core minus Greg Olsen. So it's one of those things that you got to hope that next year is better than this and the last. So, yeah, I'm not buying based on points for this year, but I think that if you can afford to take that dip in points this year, he is a good buy for the future.
It's so frustrating. I mean, he's not even posting QB1 weeks. It's you know, he's peaking at like 15 points, and it's just gross. And I'm the same with you, Eric. He's one of my favorite players, and yep. That gets in the way so much, so often. You know, you love a player, and you want to just go out and get a bunch of shares, and it's just, you're just blinded by, you know, by them. It's not very productive. So I think dynasty wise, Cam's still in that. You know, mid QB1 talk. I don't think we can put him any higher than like 5 or 6, but he's still right there. Like Nathan said, if you're talking redraft, you can probably drop him, which is sad to say, but it's been that bad. They're forcing on him an offense that he's not built for. He's not a pocket guy. You can't be doing check down passes to wide receivers that were drafted way too early because they were supposed to have played running back. It's not good. It was a tough fit when they tried to transition into this offense. It's just not going to work. And no Greg Olsen hurts too.
Let me ask the question, because I think that this is it's a point that we didn't touch on that I think is relevant. Watching Cam play, and I've watched a decent bit of the games that he's played thus far this season, he doesn't look 100%.
Oh, he's like 70. He's like 70. Tops. Yeah,
but I mean, he's got that shoulder injury. I mean, is this opening a buy low window though, value wise for Cam? Because if you're in a super flex league, suddenly you can trade, I don't know, Carson Wentz for him straight up. And I don't know how you guys feel about that deal, but that's probably something you could pull off right now with Carson Wentz heating up and Cam kind of being slumping at the moment. So I guess is there a buy low opportunity, and how much of this are you crediting to him being injured?
I would break my hand clicking accept to Carson Wentz for Cam Newton. Nathan,
I'm putting it on Twitter right now, and by the end of the show, we're gonna have an answer to that question.
All right, you can do that, but I'm definitely heavily on the Newton side there. And like I said, it's one of those things that you have to be able to eat the poor play this year in order for next year. I mean, I'm no doctor, so I'm not going to pretend to be one, but those shoulder injuries tend to be the ones that nag a player all season, even if they aren't, you know, sitting out games. So if he's hurt now, it's likely he's going to be hurt for most of the season. So it's going to be tough to, you know, buy saying, oh, this guy's going to go win me weeks this year.
Yeah, I think the injury is putting him at his cost floor. So I think if you were going to buy now is definitely the time. You know, towards the end of the season, you'll probably see him start to heat up a little bit. I still don't think we're going to see any big weeks just because of how they're playing and the injury. So once he's healthy, hopefully 2018 is a different time. And maybe we see a little movement. Maybe we see him someplace else.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to believe it. I think the state of the quarterback position right now is so brutal. I would be literally floored if they let him walk.
They'll be able to get Alex Smith after the season when they promote Mahomes.
Man, that's that would be a true Panthers move. I feel like, oh, we have an update from the poll. 2 votes for Wentz, 0 for Cam. So this is going to be an easy argument for me, Nathan. Update at the end of the show here. All right, let's move on to the next guy. So we've got another guy with a rough start in Jordan Matthews, another player that a lot of fantasy sharks were on top of going into this season. And then the surprise trade occurred. So everybody was kind of befuddled. So I guess what are we doing with Jordan Matthews? Another brutal start.
This is one of the easier buy lows on this list because there's been evidence shown that when players switch teams that their production goes down due to knowing the playbook and adapting to the new team. So when a player gets traded in August, there's really no opportunity for them to learn the playbook and get everything used to it. So and Jordan Matthews is a free agent for the upcoming season, so he's not going to be stuck in Buffalo, which appears to be a bad spot for a wide receiver to be. So I think that with Matthews, he's like with Cam, he's a guy to, you know, rely on the production in future years, not this year. I think he just got put in a bad situation, and that's why the points have not really come in hot.
Well, let me ask a question value-wise, Nathan. When you're talking, because it's tough, especially this time of the year, to buy somebody like that for future years. Valuation-wise, what would you be trying to purchase Jordan Matthews for? A second?
Before the trade, obviously, it was, during rookie draft season, I sent the 110 to Dan for Jordan Matthews. And I don't necessarily regret that at this point because I think that that's going to be decent value. But right now, I'd be buying for that, you know, looking for the 203 to 204 range. A pick that appears to be there for 2018.
Okay, I think that's fair. Dan, what are your thoughts?
I'm pretty much right on the same lines with Nathan, aside from the being stuck in Buffalo part. I don't know that he's 100%, and Tyrod works really well with those inside receivers. Obviously, he keeps producing, you know, tight end 1 weeks, which is kind of important. So I think if he can get healthy, I don't know that he's 100%. But if he can get healthy and really get into that offense, I think he could have a big October and December, and then maybe we see them re-sign. Maybe we see him go elsewhere. But like Nathan said, you're buying for future at this point. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to dig in and get that system. So maybe he's just kind of a spot start play, and we root for 2018 and beyond.
I think I'm going to contrast you guys a little bit because I'm not really and never really have been a Jordan Matthews guy. So I'm not intrigued by him going somewhere else. I'm not intrigued by him being in Buffalo. I think Buffalo is going to explode their entire team here unless they pull out a few more wins against top caliber teams like the Broncos this past week. They just seem to be unhappy with the direction it's going, which I think is pretty frustrating to watch just because I feel like they've got a lot of really talented weapons that if they just went all in on and built around, it would be good. But, you know, Matthews to me just has never been more than, I don't know, a fringe wide receiver three, wide receiver four player. And his price tags always exceeded that immensely.
Yeah, I don't think it has, though. I don't think that his price
it
tag
has. It's been a first.
Okay, but why is that? Why is that not a wide receiver three? You know, you're not getting better than a wide receiver three in the late first on most drafts.
I would rather have somebody like Chris Hogan than I would Jordan Matthews. Would be what I would say, and that's somebody who's significantly cheaper. Just to circle back to kind of the conversation we had earlier.
I mean, I don't think so. I said earlier with the Chris Hogan thing that you'd have to pay an early second now if you want to get him.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong on the valuation. It's just I would not pay a first for Matthews, and I don't know that necessarily you have to. And I feel like and especially this offseason when he was getting all that love, being the only Philly guy that now Nelson Agholor has appeared to accept all of those targets.
He's
yeah, not good. Okay, if you bought Nelson Agholor, sorry for your fab money. And onto the last player of this discussion. Another player that Dynasty Twitter just might as well make their boyfriend, and that is Dante Moncrief. So a player who's struggled super hard. Now, I guess the question I'll pose to you guys, is that really fair to attribute his rough start to him, or is it Jacoby Brissett?
No, it's not. I mean, if anything, it's just the lack of Andrew Luck. But even with Luck, all he was a touchdown scorer. We talked about it when Lord Reeves was here. You know, he's a glorified tight end. That's the way he plays. That's the way he's used in the offense. He's not going to be what everybody wants him to be. He might be this great athlete. He might be this big body that can go up and get a football, but he's not used that way. And, you know, sans Andrew Luck, you know, give him a little bit of a break, but Jacoby Brissett was an absolute monster this last week. Even, I mean, obviously a lot of the points he got were from the running touchdown, but look at the week T.Y. Hilton had.
Yeah.
I mean, there should have been every chance for him to go out and score, and he's just not doing it. And yeah, I think he's way overhyped. He got way overpriced way too early. He was completely written off after, I think, his rookie year. People were throwing him into trades, same with Davante Adams. And then he started to catch touchdown passes, and people were like, oh, he's here. He's a wide receiver too now.
I think there are a couple of ways to look at this with Dante Moncrief. I've seen him on a few redraft waiver wires, and I think that if people are stashing Andrew Luck in redraft, I think they should be stashing Dante Moncrief, because if and when Andrew Luck returns in the next few weeks, Dante Moncrief becomes fantasy relevant. Like, we all pretty much are pretty low on Dante Moncrief, but you know, he's worth a redraft roster spot. He's worth, a guy you're going to be spot starting in Dynasty. So I think that you called him Dynasty Twitter's boyfriend, but I think that Dynasty Twitter has soured a bit on Moncrief with the luckless Colts offense.
The tilted lover returns.
Yeah, so while I don't love him as a talent, I don't love him long term. I do think that his price has gone a little too low.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that it's gone too low, but it's gone to about the place that I would consider purchasing him, or at least consider like looking at him finally. People are so low on him, it's kind of crazy. So I agree with you, Nathan. I think this is certainly in redraft, I think that's a nice call. And especially in a standard league where touchdowns reign supreme, that's the kind of thing. And if we have those work leagues like all of us do that are standard leagues, that's an advisable pickup for sure. So I think I'm taken back to a conversation we had. Oh God, it must have been over a year ago at this point, since we're at episode 73 now, that it was us debating because T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief had the exact same value in ADP. And we all argued that Dante Moncrief was too dependent upon touchdowns and that T.Y. Hilton was the real deal and slumping. And that's turned out to be true. So let's all pat ourselves on the back right now.
Good radio.
All right, this is good radio. We're literally all doing it. If you could see, which you can't. Oh,
it happened. It happened.
It did happen.
It was a good time.
Okay, so a reminder that that show was sponsored by a 9-year-old, Nathan, who...
Nathan's our sponsor now?
You know, honestly, this one might get some serious pushback, guys, because they're going to be like, why are these children on the radio?
I have fun every once in a while.
Yeah, it was a very good time. Very good time. Nathan, I have an update on our Twitter poll that I created. Actually, I feel like we should do this more often, is start the show with a Twitter poll, and at the end, it comes up. What would you guess the Twitter poll is at, Wentz versus Cam?
58 for Wentz.
Okay, we are at 150 votes, Nathan. Dan, you got a guess on the percentages?
I'm going to say 69% Wentz.
Nice. It is 77%
Wentz. Oh, my gosh, people, stop it.
Go buy Cam. I mean, at that point, it's totally worth it. Go buy Cam.
Told you. All right. Well, I think I've proven my point correctly to Nathan. So suck it, Nathan. The fist fest continues. And make sure that you go and rate our podcast. 5-star ratings and reviews really help us out. Make sure you rate us on the RotoViz Radio on iTunes. And also, if you could rate our new channel, always appreciate it too. That one is a ghost at the moment, so we haven't announced it, but our shows are going to be appearing in both places. So if you love all of the RotoViz Radio, that's awesome, and I would highly advise you stay subscribed there. If you're just in this for Dynasty and you're like, I love those Tradecast guys, we love you too.
All six and a half of you.
Yeah, all four of you that you can go subscribe to that channel as well. So good stuff, very good stuff. So make sure you rate and review the pod. We really appreciate that stuff. It helps other listeners find us. I guess on that note, Nathan, happy belated birthday. Glad you got a Dynasty trade for your birthday. Dan, I guess happy day to you.
Oh, happy day.
All right. All right. For myself, Dan, and Nathan, we're going to wrap up the show, and we will catch up with you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye, Felicia.